Hi, this is Growing Up Aspen with Andy Collin and Chris Pomeroy, and today we're here interviewing Adam Kane, who I was yearbook photographer all the way to Hollywood cinematographer, producer, director. He's done a lot of films, Boondock Saints, he's worked on American Gods, the TV show, and he's here with us today. So yeah, here is Adam Kane. Well, it's also interesting too, because it isn't like you, I mean, obviously you took a course with Chris on filmmaking and stuff, but it also is your own journey. You kind of drove your own path to what you did. In other words, you set yourself up to go to grassroots and do that. It wasn't like they said, hey, we need you to come and help us out and do this. You did it. You know what I mean?
I didn't know you did that, Adam. Did you do that before or after that, whatever that week-long thing was that we did? Do you remember we shot it at the Jerome, and it was you, me, and Dean, and I cannot remember who else. But
I think it must have been after that, Chris.
Kind of gave you the bug pill or whatever. Yeah, the bug.
Well, I hope. Well, during the 80s, it might have been a pill. I think it was probably after that that thing we did, and I was looking for a job, you know. When I was 12, I did the same thing everybody else did. I sold Aspen Times newspapers, stood in line and bought them for a dime and sold them for 15 cents, and most people would give you a quarter, you know. So I was looking for a job, but you know, my mom was raising two kids. My brother was 3 years older. He did graduate from, wait a minute, did he graduate from Aspen High? My brother, Michael Grusin.
Yes, that name is familiar.
Yeah, I can't remember if he went to Country Day or not. I don't think he did. I think he graduated from Aspen High School. But at any rate, the jobs on offer were limited for kids. Especially with like the kinds of schedules we had. One of the jobs I did was at the Snowmass Convention Center, where I worked in the AV department for a couple months one summer, setting up slide projectors for conventions for doctors and stuff like that, where, you know, they say next slide and you click a button.
Yeah.
The audio visual team, you know, that kind of thing. But all of that was my interest. It was in media. Like, you know, there were some people that were skiers and they wanted to become professional, like the Harvey sisters and Carter Payne. And like, the
Pelleteers.
The Pelleteers. But I wasn't in that group. Like, it just, I was not that good. I didn't have the interest in training, and you know, I was pulling it in a different direction. So again, you know, maybe something else would have happened had I just stayed in Los Angeles, but that was a pretty major tidal wave for me.
It felt for me the big opening for me. I mean, you know, I saw you, do you remember the little sculptures I used to make?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
One time I went to, my mom drugged me to a collection at the Film Fest, the Aspen Film Fest, of animation. And that's where I saw Will Vinton, who's just down the street here. And he had done a movie called Dinosaurs. And I was like, oh my God, those are like my creatures coming to life. Whoa, oh my gosh. And that's when the bug kind of got started for me, was because of the local film festival. It just so happened Aspen was, at the time, was run by all the moms and was actually pretty good, you know, and it was ranked where if you got your film in there, you actually were nominated. You were in the nomination for an Oscar if you got like best of show at the Aspen Film Fest.
That's right.
Yeah. I think it's kind of gone downhill from then, but it was, you know, I mean, that was Missy Brinkman and Koner, Elizabeth, or what's her name? Koner. It was just a bunch of moms. It was pretty amazing. But
I remember seeing The Wizard of Space and Time.
Yes, yes.
At that festival.
I have a friend that worked on that.
Yeah. Mike, my brain was completely blown off the top of my body. I was like, wow, I don't know if I ever want to know how to do that, but it just opened up the possibilities of artistically what was possible if you let your imagination just go to any length. And Aspen was really great for that also, like across all the arts.
Yeah.
So many painters and sculptors and filmmakers and
LA. Yeah.
And LA, it's a business. And in Aspen, it's not a business, or it wasn't a business.
Right.
That I've made.
You know, I never made that connection, but you're right. It was more of an escape where those people got to play as opposed to it's a show, hurry up, time, go get an audience in and out, you know?
Yeah. It's about the commercial aspect of how much money can you make.
And right.
LA has never changed in that respect. And Aspen always felt more like a retreat where if you were an artist, you had the freedom to explore your voice. If you were a visiting artist who lived someplace else during the year and you were lucky enough to have a home or the money to be able to rent a place, then you could come and you could explore some concept that didn't have to make money.
Right.
And you could do it sort of in the freedom and the support of a community that understood the value of that.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a dollar sign on it.
Well, and because you had Aspen and it had that reputation, you could get in folks like that that were Andy Warhol and other folks that were in the industry and big. You know, I mean, a lot of people came through there. A lot of musicians came through and just played the Paragon. You know, big names, you know, that you wouldn't, you know, be playing stadiums, but instead they just come in and play this little gig. And it was more like a little family thing. You know,
it was
living in that, I think.
There were always impromptu jam sessions, really, if you get into it. You had, you know, Mick Fleetwood would be up there on drums, and you'd have Eddie Van Halen playing, and then, you know, who knows, Sylvester Stallone would jump up and try to sing. Maybe it's just the weirdest things ever, you know. I saw Billy Idol at the Paradise, maybe. It was actually his band was playing there, his little rockabilly band, and there was rumors that he would show up, you know, and sure enough, he did. But it was at the same time that he had been in a motorcycle wreck, at the same time as Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah, I was in L.A. during that time, yeah.
And Gary Busey jumped up on stage, too, and sang Buddy Holly tunes because he had that, you know, that classic iconic role. But, the weirdest stuff would happen up there, you know.
Well, I think artists liked it because all artists of probably most generations start in small venues, backyards, backyard parties, barbecues, small armed forces, veterans halls, anywhere they could get a gig. So to be able to go to a place like Aspen, which had a pretty high caliber of clientele, and be able to play in relative like peace without, you know, being mobbed, because the population was pretty controllable, in a small venue that was intimate, oftentimes with friends or people that they crossed paths with but never had a chance to play with.
Right.
That's pretty appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for listening. The authors of Growing Up Aspen would like to thank you, and would like to also thank the Aspen Times and the Aspen Daily News for giving us materials for our book, Growing Up Aspen, Adventures of the Unsupervised, which you can get at twistandturnpress.com and any local bookstore. Thanks.